of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
World without end.
be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Gracious God, you gave your Son into the hands of sinful men who killed him. Forgive us when we reject your unfailing love, and grant us the fullness of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 5th chapter. Let me sing for my beloved my love song concerning his vineyard. My beloved had a vineyard on a very fertile hill. He dug it and cleared it of stones and planted it with choice vines. He built a watchtower in the midst of it and hewed out a wine vat in it. And he looked for it to yield grapes, but it yielded wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done in it? When I looked for it to yield grapes, why did it yield wild grapes? And now I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it shall be devoured. I will break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will make it a waste. It shall not be pruned or hoed, and briars and thorns shall grow up. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant planting. And he looked for justice, but behold, bloodshed. For righteousness, but behold, an outcry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
You brought the vine out of Egypt.
You drove out the nations that planted it.
You cleared the ground for it.
It took a deep root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered with its shade.
The mighty cedars with its branches.
It sent out its branches to the sea.
And its shoots to the river.
Why then have we broken down its walls?
So that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit.
The war from the forest ravages it.
And all that move in the field feed on it.
Turn again, O God of hosts.
Look down from heaven and see.
Have regard for this vine and stock that your right hand planted.
And for the Son whom you made strong for yourself.
They have burned it with fire. They have cut it down.
May they perish at the rebuke of your face.
But let your hand be on the man of your right hand.
The Son of Man whom you have made strong for yourself.
Then we shall not turn back from you.
Give us life, and we will call upon your name.
Restore us, O Lord God of hosts.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Restore us, O God of hosts.
Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the 3rd chapter. If anyone else
thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it, and dug a wine press in it and built a tower, and leased it to tenants, and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, 'This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance.' And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this parable, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds, because they held him to be a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from St. Matthew's Gospel. Jesus said, "Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard." And then he follows up the parable by saying, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him." This is our text. Hear another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. And how he loves that vineyard. See how he puts his heart into it. He carefully chooses the best hillside. He prepares the soil, digs it up, and picks out all the rocks. A labor of love, if there ever was one. And then he plants the vines, miles and miles of vines. Their leaves soak up the sun. Their roots drink up the water. It should be quite a harvest. And that's not all. He builds a watchtower as well, a watchtower to protect the vineyard. And he digs a wine vat in it. Do you see the love? Do you see the care? Do you see the tenderness? The wine vat, because he knows he'll need that too. And what more should he have done for his vineyard? Was there anything lacking that was needed? With dirt under his fingernails and sun-kissed cheeks, he looks for it to yield grapes. Later, the master turns over the care of his vineyard to tenants. He appoints skilled workers to tend the vineyard while he goes to another country. And what's their job? It's pretty simple. To love that vineyard with his love. To love that vineyard with his love so that it will bear fruit for him in its season. He puts them in the vineyard to work it and to keep it. And that's not asking too much. So when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. Isaiah sings about this vineyard. Jesus sings about this vineyard. But as you listen to their song, you realize that what happens is different than what you expect. Because the song that begins so beautifully in such a lovely way about the vineyard doesn't end on the high note that we would expect. As it goes, it gets transposed into a minor key. It turns into a lament, a sad song, a tale of woe. He looks for grapes. It yielded wild grapes. Why? Why would it do that? He sends his servants to get the fruit. They're treated in a shameful way. The tenants take his servants, they beat one, they kill another, and they stone another. And still, he's patient and he sends more. And they do the same thing to them. Why? Why would they think and act as if the master doesn't care or is absent or is powerless? Don't they know that he cares about this vineyard and its fruit? Haven't they heard his love song for the vineyard? Unlike some of Jesus' parables, this one isn't just a story. Isaiah and Jesus are relating history. Yes, they're doing it in a picture form, but the events are real events. God paints himself as the master, the owner, the maker of the vineyard and everything in it. The fruits belong to him. He paints his people Israel as that vineyard. Her leaders are the tenants. And what does he find? Instead of fruit, he finds unbelief. He finds sin, bloodshed, and outcry, as Isaiah says. And the servants are his prophets that he sends to them again and again and again. Beaten, killed, and stoned. And here we see the story and the history coming together. You don't need an interpretation for that. It's what they did to the prophets. These are things that actually happened when God sent his servants into the vineyard looking for fruit. You can follow each twist and turn of this tragedy through the pages of the Old Testament. And then right into the pages of the New Testament as well, where it takes an even darker turn. Because finally, at wit's end, you might say, and to our immense surprise, the Master sends again. The Master sends his Son. His Son! He says, they'll respect my Son. Surely they'll respect my Son. But when the tenants see the Son, they say to themselves, that's the heir. Come, let's kill him and have his inheritance. And they take him. And they throw him out of the vineyard. And they kill him. Did I mention that Jesus tells this parable during Holy Week? Good Friday is like right there. And it won't surprise him. He knows what's going to happen. But who would treat the Master this way? Who in their right mind would do this? Who would ignore his servants and despise his word? Who would receive his Son with such disregard and hatred? The sort of person who thinks he doesn't have to know what happens here in this moment. The sort of person who says to himself, well, he's not paying attention. He doesn't care. He doesn't really mean what he says, that master of the vineyard. Who's he to tell me what I should do or not do? And all those threats, I don't believe it. He wouldn't actually do that. Who would say such things? Whoever would act as if God didn't matter, and as if I mattered most. That's who. But there's more. That's only the beginning. There's more, because after the sending the servants, and after sending his Son, and after the Son being thrown out and killed, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? Because you know, it's not the end of the story when the Son is thrown out and killed. And when Jesus asks this question, the answer seems pretty obvious, doesn't it? Everyone who hears the parable knows the answer. Why, when the Master comes, he'll put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons. No surprise there. It's the just deserts of disobedience, willful disobedience, of rejecting the Son. As it is written, the wages of sin is death, miserable death. And even the chief priests and the Pharisees get it. I mean, here's the thing. Their eyes are so blind and their hearts are so hardened and their ears are so stopped, but even they see this. They realize that Jesus is speaking about them. They get that Jesus is saying the kingdom of God would be taken away from them and given to a people producing its fruits. And although they were seeking to arrest him and would continue to seek a way to arrest him, they didn't do it right then. Why not? Because they were scared of the crowds who thought that Jesus was a prophet. But don't you see how they miss the entire point? It's like they get the part so clearly about judgment. They hear the threat and the warning, But what's their response? They double down. Instead of turning in repentance, they make plans to do exactly what the parable predicts. As if when Jesus says, they take the son out and they put him to death, they say, you know, that's actually a pretty good idea. I think we can get away with that. I mean, they double down and they kill the heir. Why didn't they see that the son was standing right in front of them? Why didn't they get that in the face of the coming judgment and miserable death, he was offering something different, life and salvation? That even in that moment, the son was standing between them and the wrath of God. The leaders of Israel rejected the son, and so the kingdom of God has been taken away from them and has been given to another people, to the New Testament church, to one that is made up of Jewish and Gentile believers in Christ. And so we can ask, what of us? Are we a people producing its fruits? Would we overhear God's call to the Pharisees for repentance and just pat ourselves on the back, kick up our feet and say, too bad for them. Thank God we're not like that. But the vineyard isn't ours to do with as we wish. Have we forgotten about the fruits? About the life for which we've been created and the life for which we've been redeemed? Have we forgotten the reason he sent his servants and his son in the first place? Have we forgotten the whole reason but behind his planting and his tending of the vineyard and his deep care and love? That we might live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. That's what it's all about. The point never was a miserable death or a destroyed vineyard or a lack of fruits. The point was that we might be his own and live with him forever. And so how have we withheld from God what belongs to him? In what ways have we perhaps acted arrogantly as if God were absent or powerless or didn't care? And as the tenants took no thought of the son, do we pass that cross unheeding? Do we go our merry way, breathing no repentant vow? Have we been faithful with what he has entrusted to us in a way that serves faith and good works? Do we seek fruit for him by sharing the faith and by diligently passing it on to family and to friends? I know that sometimes we do that. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you've confessed Christ to your son or your neighbor or your friend or your coworker, and you've walked away discouraged. You've been like the servant sent into the vineyard, and you walk away with no fruit, having been mocked and perhaps feeling a bit beaten up. I get it. Now you're hesitant to walk back into that vineyard. Now you're reluctant to say something else to that friend or family member or neighbor or coworker. Hear the Lord's promise, you servant of the Lord. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. It is a promise, and so be strong and be courageous and confess Christ to the world. Jesus said, have you never read the scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken in pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. They killed the heir. They crucified the son. And this is the irony of what they say. In fact, now, because of that, the inheritance is ours. The fruits of his death and resurrection are even greater than the fruits of his life. They took our Lord outside of Jerusalem And they put that son on a cross. And there are two things happening here. On the one hand, we look at this and we see here the act of evil men. And on the other hand, we see also being carried out the will of God. We see here how he suffered the rejection of men. And we see here how he suffered the wrath of God. We see how men return to God, the fruit, and on Jesus, the fruit of wickedness. And at the same time, we see how God's judgment against sin, against all sin, fell on him. Truly, the death of Jesus was a miserable death. But that is not the end of the story. Then marvelously, then beautifully, the song continues, no longer in that minor key, but changed again, because the rejected, crucified one has become the cornerstone. Tossed out, brought back, raised up. And Jesus gives only two options to that song, to that story. Both are challenging options. He says, the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Broken or crushed, fractured or ground to powder. Which one will the chief priests and the Pharisees choose? Which one will we choose? And yes, life often does this to us. I know you may be coming this morning already feeling broken, already feeling crushed and ground to powder. But that's not what he's talking about here. Here, it's about how we respond to him, to the Son whom the Father sent, to the one who went into the vineyard, to the one who was thrown out and killed, but then was exalted as the cornerstone on the third day. About how we receive this song of the vineyard, this love song. This love song that goes on, because how he loves the vineyard and how he sings still. But as I said, no longer as a lament. You might say that now, raised from the dead, it's been changed into the hallelujah chorus. The Son lives and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Son has come, dear friends. And the Son who was rejected has been restored. And he comes still, and he comes again, and he comes to you, and he comes today with his kingdom of grace. And he will come again in glory. Is there a limit to the Master's love, to the Master's patience with the vineyard, with the tenants, with us? Only outside of the Son. For apart from the Son, one finds only darkness and wrath and judgment and miserable death. But in the Son, there is no limit. His patience and his mercy are limitless. Limitless grace in the Son, in his blood and in his body, and in his holy word and forgiveness. Limitless grace in this Son whom he sends, and in the Spirit who teaches us to know the Son. Jesus is the refuge. He is the cornerstone. Upon him, the Master builds and rebuilds everything, including the vineyard. If at times it seems like you break upon him, take heart. St. Paul was broken on that stone too, but he was not crushed. His confidence in the flesh he counted as nothing. You heard him, circumcised on the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Pharisee of Pharisees, as to the zeal, blameless. And yet he counted it as nothing when all of that ran into Christ, compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. It's good for us to be broken so that we would not be crushed. It's good for us to be broken. Good for our sin and selfishness to be broken. Good for us to be broken down so that we can be raised up again. And so as we come, one of our prayers is this: Dear God, break our sin again, and then build us up anew on the cornerstone. Dear friends, the Son comes to you today. He gives you himself. He serves you his fruits, the good and blessed fruits of his death and resurrection. You do not stand under the cloud of wrath, but you stand under the sunshine of his grace. Your sins are forgiven. You are renewed. You are led. And so you are planted and you are replanted Sunday after Sunday, week after week, word after word of Christ. You are planted and replanted in the vineyard of his love so that you might delight in his ways and walk in his paths. And what if you woke up tomorrow or Tuesday with that song of love, the love song of the vineyard running through your head, with that grace and that mercy coursing through your veins, with the rhythm of the hallelujah chorus of the risen sun pounding out your life? What if you rose believing that the Master is near and coming soon, and that he's put you in the vineyard so that by his grace you would produce fruits lasting to eternal life, and that he would really do what he said? Would you sing that song to others? Would you make known his love song for the vineyard? Would you proclaim the Son who was rejected but raised on the third day, the stone who was rejected but has become the cornerstone of your life? Would you ever? In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, you have planted, nurtured, and hedged around your vineyard the church. You sent your dear Son to give his life for her. Inspire her by your Holy Spirit to yield much fruit for your kingdom, and grant that many find shelter on her holy hill. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Father, since your Son has made us his own by his death, grant that we may share in his sufferings with confidence, and that we may also know the power of his resurrection. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, be with Pastor John and Melinda and their family as they serve in the Czech Republic. Strengthen them as they adjust to the culture and challenges of that region. Give them many opportunities to share the gospel with wisdom and boldness. Grant that their example may inspire seminarians, pastors, and others to do the same, especially those in Pakistan. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We commend to your care those who suffer want or anxiety from lack of work. Grant that the wealth and resources of our land may be used so that all people may find suitable and fulfilling employment and receive just payment for their labor. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, sustain all fathers, mothers, and children, especially expectant mothers Rachel, Ashley, Stephanie, and Shayla, that these mothers and their children may come with joy to the day of birth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Shine your light upon us, O Lord, that we may do what is good and right and live as faithful citizens in our nation. Bless our president, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to make, administer, and judge our laws. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father of mercies, you are our only help in time of need. Look with favor upon Karen, Rose Marie, Jared, Laura, John, Peter, Rick, Diane, Donna, Marilyn, Al and Evelyn, Ann and Dana, Donna, Georgia, Mark, Ed, Vivian, John, Kay, Janet, and the family of Ken. Assure them of your mercy, deliver them from the temptations of the evil one, and give them patience and comfort. As you will, restore their health, or give them grace to accept these tribulations with courage and hope. Lord, in your mercy. Divine vine dresser, you prune those whom you love. Strengthen our hearts to heed your law, that we may never presume to sin, nor trust in our own deeds, but look to the sweetness of your grace for our source of life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you bring forth from this barren earth a holy people to press forward to your heavenly goal. Direct our zeal toward your good and gracious purpose, and prosper the work of the hands that labor in your name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
O Lord, prepare our hearts now to receive the Lord's body and blood in this holy supper. Strengthen us in faith and renew us in love by this holy communion, and bring us at last with all the saints to dwell in your everlasting presence. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, you sing the song of your love over the vineyard of your church. Lift her united voice through your Spirit, that she in turn would freely praise your lavish grace and proclaim your salvation beyond her walls. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right, and we do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him your majesty is praised by all the holy angels and celebrated with one accord by the heavens and all the powers therein. The cherubim and seraphim sing your praise, and with them we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh,
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm today is Psalm 118, starting at the 14th verse. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I might enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteousness shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God. He has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will give thanks to you. You are my God. I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
Thank you.
Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.